So tonight we're going to talk about water baptisms. So I want to read something to you, and this is kind of the objective, the overall objective of tonight. So I was going to have you handouts, but I apologize. I couldn't get them out in time. But this is what it says. Baptisms can be a very confusing topic. How many have ever been confused about how baptisms work? Just wave at me. Right? Baptisms is one of the more, believe it or not, controversial topics within Christendom. There's a lot of different beliefs depending on the denominations. There's a lot of different beliefs. So that's what we want to do tonight. So it says baptism can be a very confusing topic. Some churches teach baptism is a sacrament in that it is necessary for salvation. Some teach that infants are to be baptized while others limit baptisms to adults. Some teach immersion underwater. Others teach a pouring and others a sprinkle of water. But apart from baptisms, some churches do not consider you a Christian, and some will not even let you join their church or teach in their church unless you are baptized. Now, why do I bring this up? Because one of the things that you have to understand is what you believe about baptism will largely influence not only how you live your life, but the church you choose to be a part of. Right? So what I want to do today, the purpose of this class, is to answer some of the hard questions about baptisms. Questions like, what did Jesus say about baptisms? We want to answer questions tonight like, why is water baptism important? We want to answer questions like, who should get baptized? How did they do it in the New Testament? Right? And what does it matter anyways? These are the questions we want to answer tonight. So today, we are going to have a dialogue, and we're going to look biblically together, and we are going to have a conversation about baptisms. So if you have certain questions, I will be calling on you. I'll be asking some of you to read some scripture, because we want to grow on this topic together. Amen? I'll tell you now, my beliefs on baptism, I've studied within the Bible. I didn't get baptized just because my pastor told me to. I studied the scripture and understood the significance, and as a result, I made a choice to publicly declare my faith to the world that I was no longer the same man. And that's my goal for you tonight. Amen? I'm very excited. So tonight, the first thing that I want to do is I want to look at what Jesus said about baptism. So open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to look at two scriptures. Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20. And today I'm going to ask you to work with me. It's going to be more of a teaching tonight. I don't necessarily see me preaching, but you know every now and then I can go crazy. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20. Someone with a loud voice, if you can stand up and read it, please. Brother Eric.
And Jesus came and spake unto thee, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So here, before being taken up into heaven, Jesus sent his followers into the world to make disciples, right? That was the Great Commission, right? So Jesus had told us, go into all the world and make disciples. Now, if you read the scriptures in the Great Commission, there are two basic requirements that made the people disciples in that day. Who can tell me what those two things were based off reading the Great Commission? What did he say? He said, go into all the world, make disciples. And what did he tell them to do? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? And what else? Teach them to obey. Right? So when he sent them out to make disciples, right, the two basic requirements was baptize them and teach them to obey. Now, water baptisms, what I need you to understand, was not a suggestion, but it was what? A command from the Lord, right? And I think that we need to do better, even as a church, Victory Outreach Tacoma, we need to do better at baptisms. I think that we probably need to start doing baptisms every 3 months. And one of the things that we're going to do is we got to get to a place where people say, baptize me right now. Amen. I commend some of you because I remember when Brother Dan came up to me, he's like, you need to baptize me. No, but I'm serious. I believe in Jesus. You need to baptize me. I was like, all right, bro, we need a baptismal. Amen. But my heart, like, wouldn't it be great to have our own church? Imagine this for a second. Just imagine, dream with me for a second. Imagine if we had our own church with maybe a stage this high, but we cut a hole and we inserted a tub. And on baptism Sunday, we didn't have to go to a lake, but we can invite all your family and we could just pop this puppy open and we could have baptisms in the church. Wouldn't that be great? So anyways, water baptism was not a suggestion. It was a command given by Jesus. Baptisms was one of the marks of a true disciple in the New Testament. If you read all throughout the book of Acts, if you read through the book of Corinthians, or when you read some of these books, you will find that the minute someone came to know the Lord, immediately after they were normally baptized. It was almost like an initiation. Amen? Not funny? All right, amen. Work with me, church. Amen. Baptism was one of the marks of a true disciple in the New Testament. So that's what Jesus said about baptisms. Now, why is water baptism important? Who would like to answer that question? Anybody? Yes. Okay, that's close. Close, yes. That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. Right? Because if you look at the day, and that's, we're going to get into that. So before we go into that, to answer that question, well, go ahead. Say what you're going to say, and then I want to answer your question.
Is it like because when you come out of the water, it's like
Jesus was reborn? Yes. So the root is this. Baptism is important because it speaks of what's happened to you. It's an outward expression of what's happening internally within you. Okay, let me explain. If we look at the birthday of the new church, which is the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we see that Peter was preaching to the people that were there. Now being cut to their hearts, so Peter started preaching. The Bible says the Holy Spirit fell upon them. That's why I say you don't necessarily need to be baptized by water to receive the Holy Spirit, right? Because Peter was preaching, right? And then the Bible says being cut to the heart, the people in the crowd asked, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter's answer gives us three vital elements for the Christian life. Somebody turn there with me, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So as he's preaching, they said, what shall we do? And he gives three basic things. Somebody tell me what he said for them to do. Go ahead and read the scripture. You can look at it on your screens too. What are the three things that are mentioned that need to be done? Repent. Be baptized. And receive the gift from God, the Holy Spirit. Right? So baptism is important because baptism, listen to me, connects to repentance. Baptism is a symbolic meaning that my sins have been washed away, that I am a new person, right? So it's a declaration that I believe in God and that I'm a changed person. Amen. So here you see Peter tells them to repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. So here we see Peter connects baptism to repentance. And this is very important for us to understand, because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right? So when we make a public declaration that I am a follower of Jesus Christ, when we go under, and I know I'm jumping ahead of myself here, But when we go underwater, it is symbolic that my old way of life, my old man, my old way of thinking is gone. And when I come up, I am a new man. Are you hearing me? There's a lot of people that live with guilt and shame, even as believers. And sometimes when they do, when they perform this act of baptism, which yes, it's a work, right, that has very symbolic meaning, it's a washing away of who we used to be. I remember when I got baptized. I still remember the day. And I remember how, up until that day, personally, my experience, I remember being there, and I remember thinking, I still used to battle in my mind, like, man, I keep messing up. Man, I've done too much wrong. Who's ever been there? Right? Man, what would God really do with my life? Man, I'm unclean. But I remember the feeling of sitting there and my pastor dunking me. He held me underwater a little bit longer. Amen. I think he dunked me twice. I really did think he dunked me twice. I think he got me and I came up and he pulled me back down. That was a knucklehead. But I remember when I came up, I felt like a new person. I really did. Right? But you have to understand that the reason why water baptism is important, because it speaks of repentance, being baptized, and receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the purpose of water baptism? So that's why it's important. Let me tell you the purpose of why we do water baptism. Water baptism openly identifies us with Christ with Christ. Now, baptism is about identification. Are you hearing me tonight? Let me explain. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 7. Stay with me, because this scripture that we're about to read holds a lot of doctrinal truths that you need to grasp. I would dare to say that you need to take this scripture, all of those of you that are being baptized, and you should go home and really study it, and I hope that it ties it all together. Because when I tell you that baptism is about identification and that it helps us identify with his death, his burial and resurrection, I say that because when we read the scripture gives us this truth. Listen to what it says. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 7. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the water, we too may live a new life. Someone say new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Are you hearing me? You often hear me preach and say terms like, you got to die to yourself, right? I was like, what do you mean die to myself? I ain't trying to die yet, right? But when we talk about dying to self, what we're talking about is spiritually crucifying the old man, letting him die. Like me, I'm a dead man walking. Are you hearing me? I am a dead man. I am no longer the man that I used to be. That old selfish man that only thought about coming up and taking advantage, that person is gone. My sins have been crucified to that cross. I am no longer. And because I made the decision to live a life of repentance, to walk in my proclamation that he is my God and that he's the one that I serve, and because the world knows that I am a changed man, my Father gets glory. Are you hearing me? See, what baptism does, it identifies us with Christ. How? When we are baptized, we identify with Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. This is why when we say, when you are baptized, it's symbolic of the old man, your sins being washed away. And when you come up, the new man is alive in Christ. Are you hearing me? Now, that still answers the question, and some people might ask, well, Why do we baptize by immersing people underwater? Who's ever asked that question? Like, can't you just pour some water? Like, I got baptized, and just, many of you don't know this, but I grew up Catholic, right? I'm not a traitor, right? But people look at me, oh, you used to be Catholic, and what are you doing now? Look at you. No. Let me explain to you why I chose to follow in the ways that I do now. So we grew up Catholic. I got baptized when I was probably about 7 years old. I remember wearing a little white tuxedo. They took me before the priest. They have pictures, too. It's kind of funny because I was a very rambunctious little kid, and they tried to hold me underwater. I was like, what are you doing? Let go of me. They said I was kicking and screaming, and I remember this, and the priest was trying to pour water on me. I said, let go of me. Don't pour nothing on me, you turkey. No. I yelled at the priest. So I was baptized when I was a kid, and I'm going to answer that question, too. So, but the reason I ended up walking with the Lord was because we lived in a family, and I don't know if you're anything like me, my family was quote-unquote religious. Everybody went to church. Everyone also drank. Everyone had their rosary and passed the church and did this. But when the family got together and people started drinking, aunts and uncles started boxing. Are you hearing me? We grew up in my house, God is going to punish you. We were taught to fear the Lord, that God was going to pour his wrath on us. That's what I learned growing up. But then when I came to a church when I was 15 years old, I started learning the Bible for myself. And I started learning that, wait a minute, my God's not going to just punish me. My God loves me. Right? I remember thinking to myself, well, all of, because I'm older now, right? I'm turning into an adult. And I'm like, all of you claim to love the Lord, but none of you are happy. All of you claim to love Jesus, but none of you will even talk. You haven't talked to your brother and your sister for 5 years over an argument that you don't even remember. Are you hearing me? So I was like, that's not, if that's what God is about, I want nothing to do with it. Right? So then I feel it was the Lord, because at a young age, I wanted to know his word, so I started to do a study for myself, right? I don't know why I'm telling you. Somebody needs to hear this, but that was my. I don't know if many of you knew that, but I did. I grew up Catholic, but when I read this word, and I went to a Holy Ghost-filled, grateful church, I seen people really walking the walk. I was like, man, they don't just talk about it; they live it. I was like, man, their family is blessed. Their family is happy. And those were the people that took me under and taught me the Bible. And it wasn't just, you need to listen to what I say. Don't live how I live. Right? That's why I chose to follow in the ways of what the Bible tells me. Are you hearing me? Look at the person next to you and say, you got to know what you believe. Tell them, you got to know why you're doing what you're doing. As believers, listen to me. I will say this. For those of you that are getting baptized or thinking of being baptized, don't let Sunday be a hollow act. Right? Don't let it be a thing that's going to make you feel better about yourself. That's not what this is about. The goal is to live life the way God intends us to. Christianity is not about a bunch of rules and about a bunch of things you cannot do. That's not what Christianity is. Right? It's about living life of freedom, of joy, fulfillment. Are you hearing me? Right? So anyways, I don't know why I went on that rabbit trail. I think it was the coffee I drank. Amen. Amen. So water baptism is about identification. We identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So why do we baptize by immersing people completely underwater? I'll explain that. Mark chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. The Bible says this. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Here we have baptism being connected to repentance again. Verse number 5. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. We even read that Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist. Now, the reason we baptize people underwater completely is because if you do a study and you look at that word baptism, the Greek word baptism in the New Testament used in this scripture, it means to immerse, submerge, dip, wash, or plunge under. Okay? So that's why we won't bring you up here and just sprinkle water on your head and say, let God forgive you. That's why we don't pour a little bit of water. We believe in immersion. Why? Because the Bible gives us that definition, right? When we look at the word baptizo, it talks about immersion. What's interesting, if you do a word study on the word baptism, you will find that baptism was the same word used in the Old Testament to describe the dyeing of cloth, which was immersed into colored liquid and came out bearing the same color. It also seems quite clear that immersion was the mode of baptism in the first century. What I think is heavy is that the Old Testament word spoke of a cloth, right, that was one color. But once dipped into the new color, came out the same color of whatever water it was dipped in. Right? So you and I, the goal is when we are baptized, and like we spoke about in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 7, where it says, if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. In other words, we are declaring that we are of Christ. Are you hearing me? So this is why we baptize by the immersion of water. Other scriptures that you can study on your own time for this, if you want to do a word study on the word baptism, write these scriptures down. John chapter 3, verse 23. You can also find that word baptizo to do a word study under Matthew 3, 16. And you can also find it in Acts chapter 8, verse 34 and 38. So that's why we baptize. On Sunday, I will caution you. Yes, we're going to be there. There may be other people, other families swimming, but it's okay. At the end of the day, it's a public declaration that I am no longer the same man. That I'm not ashamed of what I believe. I don't care who sees. I'm letting the world know that I am a dead man walking alive in Christ. Are you hearing me? Now, the question often comes up, well, what if I've already been baptized as an infant? Right? Who's ever had that question? Right? Well, let me tell you our belief. This is a very common question in Scripture because water baptism is for individuals who have first received Christ as a Savior. Let me explain. It is only after the spiritual rebirth that we are commanded to be baptized. For example, we read that in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. They were preached to by Peter. They had a spiritual awakening, cut to the heart. They said, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized. Right? So that's why we choose to have people make the decision to be baptized versus baptizing kids at a young age. Right? This is why we do baby dedications, right? We've done a few of them this year where we have the babies come up and we pray and we dedicate them unto the Lord. Why? Because Jesus himself was taken to the temple and dedicated to the Lord. We let our children make the decision for themselves that Jesus Christ is their Lord. We let our children make the public declaration themselves once they have an understanding of who God is in their life so that they can live life effectively. Are you hearing me? Through Scripture, If you do a study on this, let me give you some scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. That's one that we talked about where Peter talked to all the people. But if you look up Acts chapter 8, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says this. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. See, there we have the order again. When they had basically came to an understanding, they were then baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. So through Scripture, if you look up Acts chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. If you look up in Acts chapter 10, verse 47, Acts 16, 29, and Acts 18, verse number 8, you would find that all throughout Scripture, the order has always been people first believed in Christ and then made the decision to be baptized. Are you hearing me? One of the more prominent baptisms was that impacted my life in Scripture was found in Acts chapter 22, verse 14 and 16. And this is where I'll be coming to a close here. And this is very heavy. Acts chapter 22, verse 14 and 16. Here you have the Apostle Paul. He's speaking about his conversion. He's testifying about how God changed his life and how he came to the understanding of Christ. Listen to this. In verse number 12, it says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul,'" because before he was Paul, he was Saul, right? Saul, the apostle Paul that we read about, before he was an apostle, he was a persecutor of all Christians. He would kill Christians. He would come against Christians. And the Bible tells us that one day when he was off to kill more Christians, God knocked him off his high horse. He had an encounter with the Lord, right? And God said, "Why do you kick against the goats? Why do you persecute my people?" And God blinded him. So here he's telling of that story. So let's go on. He says this. "He came to me and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. And he said, 'The God of the Father appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise up and be baptized.'" See, in the Old Testament, there was an urgency to declare your faith to the world. We're talking about the Apostle Paul, who wrote one third of the New Testament. He has this encounter with the Lord. He hears his call. And as he receives his sight again, Ananias tells him, "What are you waiting for? Be baptized." See, baptism, the act that you're going to perform on Sunday, it's not a hollow act. It's a declaration. It's a statement. It's a declaration that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an identifying that I'm going to die to my old way of life to live like he lived. Are you hearing me tonight? And I would challenge those of you that maybe you want to recommit your life to him. Or maybe it's been a long time since you've been baptized, or you want to get baptized together as couples. If you want to do it again, I remember I did it. But when I did it more because everyone else was doing it. I got baptized when I was 16 years old. And I truly wanted to know the Lord. But I wasn't ready to change. And I did it. But I remember when I came to the Lord when I was 21 years old, I had truly had a transforming experience with my Savior. And I remember I went to my pastor. I said, "I was baptized when I was 16, but can I make that declaration again? Because I know now I'm truly a new man." So listen, tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Tonight, as you bow your heads and close your eyes, I simply want you to think about what the Lord has done. It was through his burial and resurrection that you and I not only received the baptism, but that's what made the way for us to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother teaching, but it says, we are therefore buried with him through baptism and death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life. For we have, if we've been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I simply want you to think about the Lord. And I want you to think of what he's done for your life. I want you to think of the sins he's forgiven you for. Sing with me, you are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Lord, from you were all things, and to you were all things. You deserve the glory. Sing it one more time. Sing, you are. Well, worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Oh, from you were all things, and to you were all things. You deserve the glory. Sing it again. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Oh, from you were all things, and to you were all things. You deserve the glory. Sing day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day, laid incense upright. Day and night, night and day, laid incense upright. Sing day and night. Sing, let worship, worship arise. Day and night, night and day, lay worship. You are worthy of it all. One more time, say, you are worthy of it all. Oh, from you were all things, and to you were all things. You deserve the glory. Hallelujah. The final thought about baptisms tonight is always to remember that water baptism is an inward sign, is an outward sign of an inward experience. Water baptism is an outward sign of an inner experience. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know where you're at tonight, but I want to remind you that, listen, God is actively working within you. We're all at different places right now, but I can honestly say, when I look around the room, God is at work within you. You are not the old person. God loves you. God has a plan for you. You may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. I want to challenge you tonight. Keep pressing, keep fighting, keep believing, because your best days are ahead of you. Close your eyes for the next few moments. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to pray for those of you that are here. maybe there are areas in your life that you feel, I need to die to my old self. We're all still growing. God's still working on us. But if you're here tonight and you say, there are certain things in my life I need to put to rest now. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, lift your hand and quickly put it down. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to make you come up here tonight, but I just want to pray for you. If you say, there are things within me, I want to, if you're here tonight and you say, I want to crucify certain sins to that cross and I want them to stay there. I'm done. I no longer want to do those things. If that's you, lift your hand. God knows what they are. You don't have to confess them to me. It's between you and the Lord. If you're here tonight and you say, I'm grateful for what you did for me on the cross, and I want to live for you. I'm not perfect, but I'm willing to give you my all. But I need your help. If that's you, lift your hand and quickly put it down. I'm just going to pray for you tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This is what we're going to do. Before I pray, part of you living out your walk, part of you identifying is being able to exalt him higher than what you feel and what you're going through. God can forgive you. And that because of that, we exalt him. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to sing that part. And I exalt. This is what I want you to do. And oh Lord, sing, I exalt thee. And I exalt thee. Lift it up and let it go. And I exalt thee. And I exalt thee. And oh Lord, I exalt you, Jesus. And lift your voice, church. Come on, exalt him tonight. Higher than my circumstance. And I exalt thee. I exalt you, Lord. And I exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Lord, I love you. And Lord, I love you. Come on, tell them how much you love them tonight. Express it. And Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord. Sing, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love, I sing this song to you, Lord. I sing this song to you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord. Now express your need for him. Say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need. Now you in your heart, he knows what you need tonight. I need you, Lord. Lord, I need your strength, God. I need you to guide me. Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord. One more time, I need you, Jesus. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you simply say, I want to identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If tonight you want to live a new life and do away with your old ways, Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I love you. I am grateful for what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I want to live the way you lived. The old man, I want to do away with who I was. I'm no longer that person. Will you remind me that when I identify with you, my past is gone away and I am a new person in you. Would you teach me how to live? I want to make you happy. It's all about you, Jesus. I want my life to declare that I'm walking with you. Guide me, lead me, bring people around me that will encourage me along the way. I love you in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing just clarity to the act of baptism. God, we don't want to do a hollow act on Sunday, but we want to declare that we've identified with you, your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Prepare our hearts and our minds all throughout the week as we declare your goodness to the world, that we are alive and free from the life of sin. Father, I thank you for what you did here tonight. I thank you for the inward work that's happening within our church. You're building us, God. You're building a foundation. I'm grateful for that. God, we want to enjoy the process, and we're going to trust you along the way. Father, bind us together. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Come on, put your hands together for